All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. And as usual, I'm talking to you from the borough of Queens in New York City. It is the 22nd day of March, 2022. And I do like to remind you, I published a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can subscribe to that by going to miningstocks.com. miningstocks.com, and I'd like to also remind you and encourage you to consider signing up for Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? You can do that by going to chenpicks.com, and Chen will be with me in just a couple of minutes from now. We'll get his ideas about the markets. I do want to thank all of you for listening, making this one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. Also want to invite you to keep sending along whatever comments you have about this show, send them along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions at number 4, taylor@gmail.com. And our sponsors for today's show that make this show economically viable, Irving Resources, Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Han and Metals, Firefox Gold, Timberline Resources, Lion One Metals, and SK Mining. I've titled today's show, The Gang of Weasels Just Lost Another Conflict. Well, that was the title of Bob Moriarty in a March 7th piece that he wrote. And Bob is one of our guests today, along with Michael Hudson. And as I said, Chen Lin is here as well. As the incomes of global Americans have been redistributed from the poor and middle classes up to the top 0.1% more dramatically than at any time since the 1920s, extremely rich, powerful members of the World Economic Forum have, according to Bob Moriarty, been engaging in a never-ending propaganda campaign out of hysteria, in an effort to keep average people from believing their own eyes. Aiding the World Economic Forum in propaganda campaigns is a mainstream media that is equally out of touch with an increasingly impoverished citizen that Hillary Clinton labeled deplorables. Bob Moriarty explains the reason for mass propaganda is that the World Economic Forums, gang of weasels, as he calls them, are starting to realize that the deplorable masses are not happy with the notion espoused by the World Economic Forum that 99% of the population should become poor. That plan was clearly stated by Klaus Schwab's infamous declaration that, quote, you will own nothing and you will be happy, end of quote. That was at Davos in January 2021. In his March 7th essay at 321gold.com, Bob Moriarty concluded by suggesting that the real reason for an abundance of hysterical propaganda is that the gang of weasels understands that they are losing big time, according to Bob. He says, as citizens are beginning to realize that freedom is not free and it must be paid for, as demonstrated by the Canadian truck drivers. Well, as I say, Bob will be with me in the second half of today's show to talk about his controversial statements. And I'm really looking forward to Michael Hudson, who will be with me right after our first commercial break to talk about Han and Metals' world-class sedimentary-hosted silver-copper exploration project in Peru that is coming along very nicely. They'll be drilling, I understand, in the third quarter of this year, so that is something I'm really looking forward to. But right now, I'm also looking forward to hearing what Chen Lin has to say. He's back with me right now. Thanks for joining me, Chen.
Thank you, Jay. Glad to be here.
Really glad to have you, Chen. And, you know, these are really crazy markets. You would know as well as anyone, supply chain issues. And now we have a Fed that is tightening credit conditions into a slowing economy, commodity bull market. In the past, these have always led to recessions. It's clear to me that our economy can't take rate hikes much higher than where they are now without triggering a recession. But I don't know if you agree with that or how you're thinking about things, especially now after the pandemic, we're given a war to deal with, and that is having all kinds of ramifications on the global markets. But I'd just like to hear what your thoughts are on the markets and how you're investing accordingly.
Yeah, it's interesting market, isn't it? Yesterday was a big day for gold, and then week for biotech. Today, biotech have a huge day, and then everything else, and gold got weak, and it's just one day back and forth. I mean, I have a pretty good balance between gold, biotech, and energy, so I'm having a very good year so far. Mm-hmm. The thing about what I see is there's so much swing of the gold price right now. There's a rumor, as I mentioned in my newsletter, that Russian may be selling gold, maybe forced to sell some gold because they need to fund their war effort. That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. That could explain why gold went straight down from 2000 mm-hmm. to 2000 plus 1900. Now,
yeah,
if we learn Russian selling gold, there will be more suppression of gold. There will be legally suppressed gold price, mm-hmm. right? So that's the thing. I think a gold investor need to be careful. It may come, it may not. I do not know. But if it comes, it will be a great buying opportunity because writing is on the war right now. The Russian, China, and all the other, lot of other countries, between even Russia and India, they're going to trade, use their own currency. They cannot use dollar anymore. We will not mm-hmm. allow them, right? Mm-hmm. So there will be a new financial system in the world, and likely mm-hmm. they will be backed by gold because nobody trusts anybody other people's paper anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
right.
The thing. And then China's gold reserve, I mentioned many times, is only about one-tenth of United States. So I think China needs to dramatically increase its gold reserve. I mean, China's gold reserve is even weaker, even less than Russia, I believe. So there will be a lot of physical buying, and we are running into a bull market of gold for many, many years. But there may be a little bit bump on the way. I just want people to be careful about that. Right? We need to sidestep if they're or be prepared to buy when that comes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chen, you've always been known as someone who takes a look at markets and finds opportunities from adversities. I'm thinking about when I first met up with you there years ago. There was a there was some geological problems in Chile, and the paper producers weren't able to produce paper, and you found opportunities in Canada. Or I'm remembering the financial crisis of 2008 when Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae went out of, their share prices were trashed, and so was Farmer Mac. Their share price was trashed as well during the financial crisis. But you realized the farmers were paying their loans, and you went out and bought some Farmer Mac and made a fortune, did very well with that. Do you see some opportunities now that may be arising from the sanctions and all that's going on related to the Russian invasion in the Ukraine?
Yes, exactly. I discussed in the past three or four letters, in the past week. I see some great opportunities. One easy opportunity is the Kinross, right? Kinross is the top seven mine in the world. They're about 10% Russian exposure. I mean, Star was down 30%, right? So because the Kinross had some issues at the end of last year, the fire of their mill, and they're buying the Great Bear, right? So the stock actually trading half of valuation of all the other big miners. Their top seven mines in the world, Kinross, one of the seven, they're trading about less than half or less. So that's a very easy buy, right? You just buy very liquid, you just buy Kinross for a run, and I think eventually either got taken out or they will catch up, those valuations will converge because money mm-hmm. goes to where the value is.
Sure.
That's one possibility. Another one I'm looking at, it's a little bit more risky. It's called Polymetal. It's top 10 miners, gold mine in the world. It's in the lot of ETF, gold, silver miners, all these ETF. It's not really completely Russian, right? People mm-hmm. say, Russian. They are about 55% Russian, mm-hmm. right? And then they're 45% in another, it's a Kazakhstan. It's like It's a formal Soviet republic, but it's an independent country, and then it's not under sanction at all. So because they are over 50%, and so all these funds want to sell them, and they're on the blacklist. They think they're Russian, but they probably not. I mean, they can. There are a lot of things they can do. They can spin off their Russian asset. They can sell some Russian asset, right, and then make it less than 50%. And then, like other Russian stock, it went down more than 90%. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's paid like a 60% dividend, 60-70% annual dividend. No kidding, they're going to pay another dividend in May. So that's the one I like. I think it's just like those extraordinary circumstances. And then you want to buy, and then you probably want to do it soon because I think the end of the quarter, which is next week, probably will be mark of the end of the selling, right? All the fund have to liquidate. And show their book. They don't have any Russian stock, and this will be sold. It will be sold with all the others. So, so that's so this is like a good opportunity, right? So, and then just keep your eye open. And then there's a we decide there's another new IPO, uranium IPO, which I'm going to visit in a week and a half. It's called Ivor Exploration. It's in the Nevada historical producer. It produced 50% of uranium. Historically, okay, so 50% of Nevada uranium came from this mine. So we're trying to bring this online. NextGen's, a lot of NextGen investor directors in this technical team in this very high grade, one of the highest grade. So I'm kind of excited. Just IPO this week, IVOR, and I'm going to I'm looking forward to visit them in a week and a half.
I believe it's trading, IVOR is trading in Canada now, if I've got that right, but it will be, I guess they're going to raise like a secondary offering. They're going to raise some money, probably a serious amount of money, huh? Do you know how much they're raising?
Yeah, in the future, right. They were doing the pre-IPO raise. I was hoping to get my subscribers in, that I explained to my subscriber. I haven't got management, you know, some kind of commitment, but then there's a big... There's a big fund manager, rich guy, Michael Gentile. He got in and he basically pushed out all everybody. So we can't get in this round. But maybe in the future round, I mean, I can help my subscribers to get in. But the stock is, it looks very, very interesting. High grade, one of the highest grade past producing in Nevada, right off I-80. So it's not very remote. So.
Right.
So I'm going to fly to Reno and visit them in a week and a half.
Oh, very interesting. Well, I'm seeing it selling. It's I don't know how much it's not trade 41,000 shares only trading today in Canada at 74 cents Canadian. But Chen, it says there's only 16.7 million shares. Obviously, that's going to change probably in a big way pretty soon.
Wednesday, they start to tell the story. I think at a different valuation, they will be a very different story. Yes.
Yeah, hopefully. I think very.
Oh, we'll see.
Very interesting. Well, we're just with about a minute left here, Chen. What about Amyris, Tricida, a couple of your favorite biotechs?
Oh yeah, my five tiger are all doing so well today. I mean, each of them up at least 5%, almost 5%. Amyris at 4.5%. But all the other, I see biotech completely turn around because biotech is not market sensitive. You know, curing disease shouldn't have nothing to do with the Fed raising interest rate, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was down so much, it's down to the toilet, and I buying them in the bottom of the market in the past year. So far, so good. Everything, I see they all have a lot of catalysts coming, and one of my five tiger, AXXM, actually have a very significant catalyst. They could have two approval, FDA approval in the next month and two. So that's the most exciting one. But there are also other ones, and then also for takeover, another of my tiger, Magical, just listed a top 10 takeover target by the bio, whatever, the newsletter. I mean, the very famous bio, they list this as one of the top takeover company. It happened to be one of mine. I'm very happy about that.
You're very happy about that. Well, and so are your subscribers, I might add.
I was getting, I was buying at 50, I talked to my subscriber, I was buying at 55 cents, $55, I'm sorry, a few weeks ago. Now today it's hitting 100 now. So it's pretty good.
Very good, Chen. Very good. Well, Well, of course, folks, it's chenpicks.com if you're interested in subscribing to Chen's letter. He does come up with some doozies, no doubt about it, and I mean that in a good way. Doozies, winners. So thanks, Chen, for sharing your thoughts with us. It's much appreciated. All right, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away because Michael Hudson will be with us to talk about Hannon Metals and their exploration efforts. Very successful ones, by the way, in Peru. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Michael Hudson.
Okay. I'll hang up and listen to it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQX, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have with me once again Michael Hudson. He's the director, CEO, and chairman of Hannon Metals, which is a company I've been following for some time now. It is a top pick in my newsletter. It is a sponsor to this show. Hannon trades in Canada under the symbol HAN. You can buy it in the States, as I have, under HANNF. Trading today at around 21 cents in U.S. money, 92.4 million shares outstanding, giving you a market cap, a minuscule market cap, I might emphasize, of $20 million. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Thanks, Jay. It's always a pleasure to join you.
It's really good to have you because you are a very experienced mine exploration geologist who's had a lot of success. Looks to me like you're on to another one that I'm following anyway. That's Hannon Metals. And you're maybe just give our listeners, those that might not be familiar with your story, it's a sedimentary hosted copper-silver target in Peru. It's pretty much overlooked until you started paying some attention to it a few years back. Give our listeners a sense of perhaps grades and scale of this sedimentary hosted target that you're exploring.
Sure, Jay. It's always an interesting question just to describe the scale of the project. And I think we had a conversation off air, and the comment was it was beyond big in terms of what we're looking for. And that's the preface to, I suppose, how we got there. I was running around Peru as a geologist in the 90s and had indications of, well, knew of the indications of copper on the eastern side of the Andes. So the high jungle areas. So traditionally been a harder area to explore. I was exploring around there for different commodities in the 90s. And then myself and my long-term business partner were working for one of the world's majors, Pasminco. We bought their database from the receivers, so we had a huge database at hand that we've had for the last 20-plus years. And so it was a watch and wait, and certainly the social side of things changed a lot over in in that eastern side. It was a big drug growing area back in 20 years ago, and that was absolutely cleaned up, and the infrastructure has changed hugely. And then I suppose, gaining a bit more experience and ability to raise capital on ideas. Essentially, that's what geologists do, right? We're running big scientific experiments, and sure, and when they work, they can create huge value. And so we staked these projects about 3 years now. COVID hit, and it gave us a bit of a hiatus, but we've had a lot of exploration over the last year. So just to describe the project, it's a sediment-hosted copper project. It's like a big blanket that it forms at one stratigraphic level or one horizon in the rock mass. And these systems tend to be extensive, and that's what we've certainly proven here in Peru. So our exploration tenure extends for more than 100 kilometers in a north-south direction, and east-west in tens of kilometers. So we're only looking in detail at a smaller area at the moment. We've gone through an EIA to go through to drill permitting, and that's advanced well, and we should be drilling this project, which is the next big step, sometime around Q3 this year. So we've demonstrated this pancake layer over this vast area. And it's really been a process of de-risking, as geologists do, from the large scale down to the known. And we've got to the point where we've done a lot of work on the ground in this smaller area, this EIA area, that's the 8 by 3 kilometers, still vast. And if it proves big enough in that area alone, we're really off to the races. There's enough scale there to produce something that could be potentially mineable, and we've trenched this horizon over this 8 kilometers and found it averages 1 meter at 2% copper and an ounce silver. Now that may not mean a lot to anybody, but it's commensurate with what is one of the world's greatest copper deposits on Earth and still the biggest silver producer on Earth, and that's the Kufa Schiefer in Poland, which is the geological analog. So commercially, we're within the similar grades and thicknesses. And I suppose just to talk about the commercial side of things, Hannon has two different arms. I'm talking about the sediment-hosted copper now, and we've also got a porphyry copper-gold target area a few hundred kilometres south. We're a top 10 landholder, one of the only juniors who compete with the major companies in Peru. We've got a huge land tenure. And of the sediment-hosted system, we've got about two-thirds in joint venture with the Japanese government, their arm that goes looking for and partnering with companies like ours called JOGMEC. They're spending $35 million to earn a 75% interest in their portion, which is two-thirds of our ground for the sediment-hosted system, and one-third is in our own right, where we've been working and finding similar earlier stage exploration in our own right, in our own ground, because JOGMEC have been funding their side quite actively. I should say the JOGMEC side, we own 100% still, and until they spend $8 million of high-risk capital, they won't have any ownership. So we're running things where we still have 100% ownership and using other people's money essentially for Hannon shareholders.
Yeah, it's very good. And, as I just mentioned, a $20 million market cap with this vast target that you're looking at, it seems to me that when the drills start to turn and people can start to envision in the third dimension a little bit of what you've, been able to look at, because I think most of it isn't on surface, but you have some surface samples that you've picked up. It seems to me that that will be the market mover when people start to perceive that this has that kind of scale that you're talking about. If it's mineralized, anywhere near, what'd you say, 8.3 kilometers or something like that? So the drills are going to turn then along the third quarter, I believe you said, right?
That's correct. We've now submitted our EIA, and that was a year of a body of work from environmental to social to archaeological monitoring and measurements, and demonstrating what we're doing will have low impact and all those kind of things that modern mining companies must do. And that's behind us now. So it's been submitted and we're just waiting for that that approval. And once that occurs, we're going through all the logistics and seeking quotes now for drilling.
Those are the kind of things that don't necessarily get investors excited, but they're very necessary. And I know you've been very patient, and you underscore the need for investors to be patient. It's just this business, that's the nature of this business anytime. But I know you've laid the groundwork in talking with the local stakeholders, which I think is absolutely imperative. And it's also what you should do. It's the right thing to do. The people, and you're working in their backyard, you must respect them and give them the right to participate and to really thrive from what you're doing. You're involved in a wealth-creating industry, and those people stand to benefit, but you need to take the time to make sure that they're on board and you have an agreement and you understand each other, right?
That's very well said, Jay, actually. I couldn't have put it better. You've got to have your A-grade game on wherever you operate, and especially in frontier areas. I mean, we're doing things here that others haven't done before, and that therefore means that the local people don't really understand what mineral exploration is all about. That the oil companies were here in the 70s and 80s, and they were very different times and different scale of exploration, and it didn't necessarily leave the best taste in the mouth of the locals, so mouths of the locals. So we've been working very, very hard, and for the very reasons that you outlined. And if one simple point, we just used to send geologists in to look at rocks, and then we might send social people in to talk to the locals after that. You can't do that now. It's social people first and then rock people second. If you get people off on the wrong foot, like anything in life, if my interactions when we first met many years ago was unpleasant, you wouldn't think much of me going forward. And that's the same thing with anybody, including local people in Peru who are the custodians of the land, and we're on their land.
Right, exactly. And I'm wondering, so the environmental issue, I think things look pretty, I mean, that's what you're referring to. The EIA has to do with partially environmental issues, right? So are there any environmental issues that could pop up that you're aware of?
Well, they're sensitive areas. Each area where we work is generally in remote areas, so they're unique habitats in their own right. But
sure,
we've gone out of our way actually in staking these projects to avoid any protected areas. Life is too short. In my early 50s, I certainly don't want a 10-year battle trying to do things that are really tough. So we just avoid any areas where there's any sort of protection overlays. We avoid any of the indigenous areas that just take so much longer to permit. So we've tried to create a simpler life for everybody by doing so. And then what we're doing is just standard drill permitting for Peru. So it's nothing new or different, but Peru is known to not be the fastest jurisdiction, but the prize certainly here is very much worth it. And you know, the market cap is reflective of a small junior with a few results, and smarter people around us are all anticipating, as you are, the drilling, because that will prove the thesis that we've done in two dimensions now over the last year. But that third dimension will be the real opportunity for people to envisage just how big this really can be.
Just real quickly, Mike, I'm wondering about metallurgical studies. Have you done anything on metallurgy? That's one question. And the other one, if you could kind of quickly sum this up, you seem to be very excited about your copper-gold porphyry system. It's very early days, but maybe you just real quickly give us an understanding why you're really excited about that story.
Yeah, so metallurgically, we don't have any fresh rock. We've got surface rock, we've done mineralogical studies, and the mineralogy of this sediment-hosted system is very good. It's a mineral called chalcocite, which is probably the purest form of copper, metallurgically very easy and clean, and we know that there's There's literally no impurities, within, and so it will be a very desirable product to produce if we ever find enough and get a mine up and running, of course. But metallurgically, it looks fantastic. Is really the answer, and we've gone through that with the Japanese over the last 6 months. And remembering, this is also going to be a very large silver project because silver will certainly be a byproduct with an ounce of silver coming with every few percent of copper. And then to answer your question around the copper gold porphyry targets, very different, a lot more traditionally understood these style of targets. I mean, they're the most prolific form of copper in the world, and the copper gold subclass is really where the major gold companies need to go to keep up their production of gold. They're huge suppliers of gold and will become even more important. So, you know, all major companies kick the tires, so I'm not trying to say something that doesn't exist, but the majority of the companies that have been kicking the tires around us on these porphyry targets are the gold companies more so than the traditional base metal companies, I should say. And you know, the opportunity is huge. It's about half our ground position, and we don't talk about it as much in the public domain yet, because we've been basically doing that groundwork, what we talked around social side of things, putting the social people to work after we've collected a bit of initial data. And you know, only over the last 3 or 4 months, the permits have started to be granted. We can start to deal with the local people and with much more granular nature. And we've been starting to produce the first results. In fact, our last press release was on soil sampling from those areas. Now, that seems awfully vague probably to a lot of people, but we've got anomalies over kilometres above porphyries that we're really rewriting the geological and economic geological textbook on. We found these intrusive rocks that bring the copper are the same age, the very fertile age as those that produce all the copper in the Andes. You know, and Peru is one of the top few countries in terms of copper production in the world, and it extends right down to Chile, which is of course the largest copper producer. So we've rewritten the opportunity out in this part of the Andes again, I think you know, this will probably be arguably one of the greater discoveries of my career.
Wow.
It's, you know, early days. Let's see, and it's really the icing on the cake. It's quite crazy. People don't believe one of these large stories, let alone two, and we're working very actively on both sides, the sediment hosted system majority with JOGMEC and then the copper gold porphyries in our own right. And I suppose just two analogs, you know, you only really have to go and look at SolGold or Solaris, which are $1 to $2 billion market caps on porphyry copper gold systems in the Andes, and that's who we're chasing. That's who we want to be.
Excellent. Well, wish we had more time, Michael. We're out of time. I want to thank you so much for that update. A lot to be excited about with a $20 million market cap. I've got to tell you, seeing will be believing, I believe. So we'll see, and we'll be watching very closely. Thank you so much for updating us today on Hand in Metals, Michael.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, folks, we do have to go to break now. Don't go away, though, because Bob Moriarty will be with us. And Bob, I know, loves this story that you just heard from Michael, but he'll be here to talk about a whole lot of other things as well. The very colorful Bob Moriarty will be with us right after the break, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill-indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district-scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really happy to have Bob Moriarty with me once again. He is a proprietor of 321 Gold. It's a site that I keep my eyes on. I keep it open in my computer virtually all day long. I keep my eyes peeled on that because there's a lot of good stuff on there with regarding economics, markets, geopolitics, and also various companies that I follow that Bob also has as sponsors. Bob has the sponsors I've recommended in my newsletter, and some of which are also sponsors to this show. What I want to talk to Bob about, have him talk to us about, really, is his March 7th article that was posted at 321 Gold, titled, "The Gang of Weasels Just Lost Another Conflict Because They Are Tone Deaf," end of quote. So, Bob, thanks for joining me again.
Well, it's good to talk to you.
It's good to have you in your late in your day in France, I might add. It must be, what time is it there? It's about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Yeah. Getting on to 9 o'clock, I suppose, right? So,
yeah.
So the Gang of Weasels. I mean, who are some of the more prominent members of the Gang of Weasels?
Okay, obviously the leader is Klaus Schwab, which you've got Davos, you've got George Soros, you've got Bill Gates, and the whole World Economic Forum I think you could call it the 0.1%, mm-hmm. and they want to control the world and have the 99% literally be slaves to them. And by 2030, you will owe nothing and you will own nothing. But that's the definition of slavery. And there's a battle going on. And I wrote that piece after Trudeau started seizing bank accounts in Canada, mm-hmm. from people who were doing something that was perfectly legal and perfectly reasonable at the time. And strange enough, we've had this... It worked so well for Trudeau that Biden's doing the same thing with sanctions against Russia. Mm-hmm. And blowback is going to be catastrophic.
Well, I hope we can get into that a little bit. The World Economic Forum then is, those are the leaders of the forum, but it's a large class of people. I suppose Trudeau might fit in very well there. I think Michael Bloomberg of Bloomberg certainly fits in there very well with the probably with the Gang of Weasels. Would you agree? Are those people that are part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Trudeau, it's part. Friedland, who's a deputy prime minister of Canada. But even Zelensky and Putin were part of it. The prime minister of New Zealand was part of it. And Klaus Schwab has bragged on video about how the World Economic Forum has literally infiltrated governments all over the world. They're an incredibly powerful group, but their plan is flawed, and it's going to blow the world's economy up.
The statement that you referred to, Klaus Schwab, I mean, this is very bold. They obviously think they have the power, and they have the ability to deceive the masses through propaganda. They figure that they are the elite and they are superior to the rest of the human beings, the rest of us deplorables, as Hillary Clinton called us. The direct quote was, "You will own," this is the direct quote that I have in front of me, "You will own nothing and you will be happy," he's saying to the masses. I mean, this is really repulsive.
Well, it's pretty scary. But he's written a book, and he's as serious as a heart attack. And strange enough, the whole COVID narrative that has now evolved into the Ukraine narrative, it's all part of the same battle. But these people are actually stupid at heart. In all of history, the elites have always believed that they were smarter and better than the plebs, and they should run things. And they always screw it up, and they're screwing this up, this sheer panic on the part of the World Economic Forum.
Well, you're certainly the gist of your article was hopeful. You know, as I sit here in New York and I see what they're doing all the time, I hear all the propaganda that is so one-sided. I mean, I could look at the January 6th situation in which people, what they called it, an insurrection. It was the funniest insurrection I've ever seen. There were no guns. There were no, I mean, they went in with flagpoles. It was if it was an insurrection, it was the most impotent, stupidly planned insurrection in the history of humankind. And yet, people are rotting in jail. I just was reading about one person who committed suicide because he couldn't stand the idea of being locked up without a lawyer forever. I mean, is that part of this? Is that part of what we had, the black, you know, the riots of 2020, the January 6th situation? These all seem to be part of the same game, it seems to me.
Well, no, you're absolutely correct. And it's, they believe they can control a narrative. And you used a very good term. It's all propaganda. Now, when BLM and Black Lives Matter and Antifa were rioting and 25 people were killed and $2 billion in damage was done, there was a really famous video on television where a guy is standing in front of a burning building and he's saying the most peaceful, it's a mostly peaceful protest. And I'm thinking, God, that isn't a peaceful protest. But if you compare that to the Canadian truckers, that was absolutely a peaceful protest. But if you listen to Trudeau, you were thinking, you would believe you were dealing with the biggest monsters in the world. And the whole January 6th thing, the police were actually letting the protesters into the Capitol. And for them to, nobody went to jail from Antifa and Black Lives Matter, even though those were serious riots. But they've had people in jail for 15 months now. We have destroyed the legal system in the United States. And the whole COVID thing, we went through 2 years of solid propaganda. And I just realized the government spent a couple of $1 billion literally on advertisements for the vaccine. And if you look at what's going on in Ukraine, someone is spending a lot of money trying to create this narrative where the Ukrainians are the good guys and Putin's some kind of monster. And if you want to know what's going on, you need to pay attention to the narrative of the mainstream media and then invert it. And the inverted narrative is the actual truth. Mainstream media is lying about everything.
It seems to be sort of my sense of things, too. Pfizer laid off, I think, over 100 of their salespeople, and they're making tons of money. And I suppose it has something to do with the fact that the ads I look at every day, it seems almost unending, for vaccines, have something to do with the fact that the government is financing those ads. And, well, it's just the way it is. It seems to be the way it is. I don't know where, when I learned about economics, they called that fascist economics, where large corporations are in bed with government, and governments and the large corporations are. That's what, though, Bob, what worries me is that it seems that our government is so much in bed with this propaganda. And it seems to me that this is what we better damn well believe, or you're going to be in trouble.
Well, that's absolutely correct. But the real key to it is that everything they try to do, they end up failing. Now, the head of Pfizer just came out the last week and said you need a fourth shot. Well, if the first shot didn't work and the second shot didn't work and the third shot didn't work, why would you need a fourth shot? they've lost control of that, so they shifted to Ukraine, and it's a totally fictitious. They made the whole thing up. The United States has been pushing Putin for years. Nobody in the United States is trying to end that war. What they're trying to do is prolong the war, and while they're doing that, you have Ukrainians and Russians dying, and it's totally meaningless. It's as meaningless as the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq. Why are we doing this? It's total insanity.
No, well, we haven't been in wars to win them. That was obvious from the days you were flying missions in Vietnam, Bob. I don't think that winning the war is really the objective. The objective, I think President Eisenhower understood it very well when he warned about the military-industrial complex as he was leaving office. Do you agree with that? And then I would like to also ask you, you said that we've been pushing Putin. Perhaps you could explain that, because I don't think that's something that most people have any idea about.
Well, the CIA and the mainstream media and certainly the administration has been demonizing Putin for years. I mean, there's nothing new about this. They're trying to make him into some kind of monster who wants to recreate the Soviet Union. And the actual fact of the matter is that what Putin was demanding of Ukraine was exactly the same thing that John F. Kennedy was demanding of the USSR in 1962, and it was reasonable. He does not want an aggressive neighbor with nuclear weapons on its front porch, and that's perfectly reasonable. This war is absolutely meaningless. It's not going to solve anything. And in fact, the sanctions are going to blow the world's financial system smithereens. We're going to see $200 gas. We're going to see people starving. We're going to see people freezing. And I'm talking about millions of them. The supply system was broken prior to the war. This has gotten so absurd. Who would have imagined that Switzerland would get involved and start talking about putting sanctions on anybody? If anybody goes back and actually studies what Putin has repeated again and again and again and again, what he wanted was perfectly reasonable.
He wanted a neutral state in Ukraine, and obviously we had something to do with it. I think perhaps you're Klaus Schwab and company, I don't know if they were directly involved or not, but 2014, we certainly had some NGOs that were involved in overthrowing that elected government in 2014. The United States has been involved in so many different foreign elections and government changes, regime changes, that most people are totally unaware of. And David Stockman talked about this on my show a few weeks back as well. But, Bob, to most people, it would sound totally conspiratorial and nutsy to suggest there was a connection between COVID and that propaganda that it surrounded COVID, and then a war that occurs in the Ukraine. And most people are saying, well, that doesn't make any sense. How could Putin and all the rest of these factors be, you know, how could we decide to have a war now because the game plan isn't working anymore for COVID? I mean, explain that to us so we could, it's hard for most people, including myself, to believe that could be the case, that there's a coordinated effort to make these things happen.
Well, here's the real key. If you look at the BLM and Antifa, the reality was exactly the opposite of the narrative. There was constant propaganda, ongoing propaganda, day after day after day after day. But if you actually looked at it, you were looking at people doing serious rioting, burning buildings down, killing people, but the media wasn't saying anything about it. And then you went into COVID, and we started COVID with we needed to have a two-week lockdown. Well, the 2 weeks turned into 2 years. And that whole fiasco, I can't even go into COVID because that's so crazy. But we went from COVID, COVID, COVID to Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. And I'm going, wow. I mean, somebody is controlling this. because they just flipped the switch and they went from one thing right on to another. And, you know, what are they going to go into next? I don't know. But is this an accident? Absolutely not. If you read what Klaus Schwab has had to say, if you listen to Trudeau, you realize, wait a minute, these guys have planned this. This is all deliberate. Mm-hmm. And it's all, I mean, it's beyond fascist. It's a criminal conspiracy where all these guys belong in jail. It's they're killing millions of people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Bob, there's Edward Bernays was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. He's known as the father of modern propaganda. He was involved. I think he did provide some advice to Hitler's propagandist, and he was involved, apparently, as I understand it, in helping Americans to accept the CIA overthrow of the Guatemalan government on behalf of United Fruit Brands, so United Fruit Brands could get its fruit out of there. He was involved also in a campaign to get American women to start smoking. It made it look sexy for American women. It was a propaganda campaign that worked very well. And his philosophy was, as I understand it, that democracy cannot be efficient. You can't really have a democracy if you allow all these different ideas to prevail. And so we've had qualified scientists on the bioscientists on the COVID matter that we're not allowed, and we're silenced, and we're taken off of Twitter and off of Facebook and YouTube and various places like that. But it seems to me that this was Edward Bernays. That philosophy seems to be in practice now, perhaps from the World Economic Forum. Very much so, it would seem to me. What do you think?
No question whatsoever. If people will look at the little pop-up ads, a lot of different websites have these ads that come up, and we're used to ignoring them. There are literally hundreds of advertisements to do something for Ukraine, and somebody has to pay for that. That's not an accident. I was absolutely shocked to find out the United States government spent billions of dollars on the vaccines and then billions of dollars more promoting the vaccines, but they didn't spend anything on testing the vaccines. And now I said, wait a minute, we should have done a lot more testing.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing we're not really. They're very slow in releasing the results of these tests. I mean, the results of people taking the vaccines, there have been, seems like Pfizer and others have been very slow in releasing that information. There still is some freedom of speech in this country, and you can hear alternative views, but you don't hear them very much from the mainstream anymore, because the mainstream is clearly... it's clearly working in the Bernaysian propaganda thing, it seems to me, anyway. You agree?
That's absolutely correct. But because of the internet, the mainstream media and the propaganda arm of whoever they're operating for has lost control of the narrative. And if people will go to alternative websites like yours and mine, I'm not saying that everything other than mainstream media is a fountain of truth, because it's not. But you get some truth, and you're not getting any truth from the mainstream media. They just flat, I'm serious about this, they're lying about everything.
Bob, with just a couple of minutes left here, want to get your ideas on, then you mentioned sanctions, and David Stockman talked about that as well on our show. He talked about how there's a major railroad that goes through Russia that delivers goods from China to Europe, and he's saying that people are afraid to put their stuff on the train going through Russia. They'll be blackmailed or whatever, and so that is creating a huge supply chain problem. So we're looking, as you're saying, supply chain issues were big before the war as a result of COVID lockdowns and so forth. But how does this play out? And do you see the dollar as being under some real pressure here? We've got 2 minutes left.
Okay, well, actually, what's going to happen, David Stockman's done some brilliant writing lately about the sanctions. We're at the most important pivot point in world history with sanctions. They're not going to hurt Russia. They're going to hurt the rest of the world. It is going to give us hyperinflation. It's going to give us far higher energy prices. The supply chain is going to be destroyed. The entire world is a cesspool of debt that is never going to get paid. And Russia and China are going to get together, and I am absolutely convinced Russia will go to a gold standard and insist on getting paid for oil in gold. And when they do, it's going to change the world's financial system permanently.
That's a fourth turning. We're talking about a fourth turning and a new monetary regime, which I agree, and I think Russia has thought this out before when it knew what we would do. And it has been aligning itself with China. And as David was pointing out, that in fact, I guess it's Alistair MacLeod, that Russia has a 17% flat tax, less than 20% debt to GDP. Ours is 130%. And their regulatory regime is minuscule compared to ours. So all of these things, in spite of Putin not perhaps being the nicest gentleman in the world, the life for Russians, at least by that sort of libertarian criteria, looks pretty good compared to our own, I'm afraid.
You raised a good point. Fourth turning said you're going to take one of two paths. You're either going to take a path to totalitarianism, which is the World Economic Forum at Klaus Schwab, or you're going to take a path towards independence and freedom. And I actually believe that that's what's going to happen. It's going to be catastrophic for many people, but I didn't set it up. Klaus Schwab did.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to leave it go at that. Bob, thank you so much for your thoughts, controversial, though I'm sure many will find them. I certainly welcome them and am glad to hear an alternative voice along the lines, certainly, of what I've been thinking as well. Thank you, Bob, so much for being with us. Well, folks, that is it for this week. Next week, Alistair MacLeod will join me to talk about the evolution of credit and the limited future life of the dollar. And Patrick Highsmith of Timberline Gold will join me as well, and Michael Oliver, too. Until then, goodbye, and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Firefox Gold is exploring in Finland in the midst of an exciting new gold rush. Firefox successfully drilled high-grade and visible gold in 2021 and is now active at four prospective projects with plans to drill continuously through the first half of 2022. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, are driving the company to discovery, and the stage is set for Firefox to identify multiple new gold deposits. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX and on the OTCQB at FFOXF. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.